The Up and Under podcast is proud to be a part of Off the Ball Network. For all things basketball, football, soccer, golf, baseball, sports betting, you name it, go to offtheballnetwork.com and check out the amazing articles posted by writers of the network, including yours truly, and the other podcasts on basically every sport under the sun. Off the Ball Network, your home for quality sports and entertainment content. SeatGeek is the newest sponsor of Off the Ball Network. If you're listening to this podcast, there's a 99.9% chance you love sports. But watching these games in person is super expensive. To help ease the pain in your wallet, use the promo code OffTheBallNetwork to get a $20 discount for first-time users of SeatGeek. Your next best night ever is waiting, and SeatGeek has the tickets.
I'm ready when y'all are, I guess.
All right, ready?
Yep.
All right, 3, 2, whatever. Beach boys on a ride. What is good, everybody? It's your boy, Francis Carlotta, on episode 46 of the Up and Under podcast. This is part two of our series breaking down the 15 most interesting teams entering the 2022-23 NBA season. On today's pod, we'll talk Golden State Warriors, Boston Celtics, Minnesota Timberwolves, Toronto Raptors, and the New Orleans Pelicans. But before we get into that, allow me, a very hungover San Diego Padres fan with absolutely no voice, really no voice at all. I'm trying really hard on this pod to talk, to introduce one of the biggest baseball fans I know and former elite D3 pitching prospect, Connor Byrne, and one who really doesn't care for baseball. And one who doesn't care for baseball very much, but was also an elite D3 basketball prospect, Grant Hechinger. Connor, Grant, how y'all doing, fellas? It's been a while since I've seen you, Connor, so it's good to see you.
Yeah, it is good to see you, Francis. I'm on one hand, I'm really happy because I'm happy that you are into baseball right now. The Padres are winning, so that makes me happy. On the downside, Grant is visiting me in Durham, North Carolina, and he's ruining my reputation with the people I've met down here so far. So, highs
and lows. Yeah, it's been a good weekend. I've all of Connor's friends have said they like me more than him. So that's what you're looking for when you come here.
Makes sense. I think that tracks considering knowing y'all's friendship over the years. So yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, Francis, it's weird to see y'all.
Hello, listeners. Who's the big brother?
I'm not answering that question. I'm not falling into the trap of answering that question because I feel like I care about both of you as friends, and I would not want to endanger the friendship with either one of you. So I will deflect and say, rather, it's weird to see all in the same room.
The lawyer answer, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. It's very weird to see all in the same room. I know y'all live near each other because obviously Connor's at Duke and Grant, you're in Charlotte. So I'm glad y'all got to hang out, spend time together. Hopefully y'all find your way back to San Diego or out to San Diego, not back, but out here so we can do this as a pod together. That would be so cool. But yeah, let's get into the teams. And the first team we're going to start with is the Golden State Warriors. Last season, they were 53-29. Third in the Western Conference, beat the Boston Celtics in 6 games to win the NBA title. They've had some headlines over the past week and a half. Just to do the boring stuff first, they re-signed Kevon Looney, they signed Dante DiVincenzo, drafted Patrick Baldwin Jr., and signed Jamichael Green. But recent news, they re-signed Andrew Wiggins to a 4-year, $109 million contract, and they re-signed Jordan, come to my pool party, for a 4-year, $140 million extension as well. So, yeah, they've been in the news a lot. They lost Gary Payton II, lost Otto Porter Jr. Those are massive losses to me. But yeah, this team has been grabbing the headlines. Connor, what do you think about the Warriors offseason? I guess about the Draymond punch video, everything. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I still love the roster. My favorite roster in the NBA this year going into the season. And as for the Draymond punch, I don't think punching someone is that big of a deal in NBA. Oh, I mean, it is a big deal because it is assault, but in the sense of more than I think we realize that you hear stories that this happens a decent amount, especially probably 10 plus years ago, even more so. But when you see the video of it and the type of punch it was, where it was kind of a sucker punch, that was pretty bad look. So, but he's already back, right? He's
back.
News conference saying he's going to go that only hurt people, and he's going to take some time off. And then about 2 days later, he's back at practice. So,
yeah,
I guess he's got a really good therapist, I suppose.
He said only
hurt, I guess,
people. I didn't hear that quote.
Yeah,
he said that. Wow. Yeah, Draymond's going to have to figure out eventually that he will very soon not be worth this type of behavior. He's obviously like been a super valuable piece for the Warriors, but he is like on the decline, especially offensively. So like very soon, this is not going to be something that's worth it. And in a contract year, this was not a smart move by him at all.
Yeah, I mean, would y'all re-sign? We're getting like slightly off the topic of things, but would you re-sign Draymond Green to a lucrative contract if you're the Warriors?
No, I would not, especially after they just paid Poole and Wiggins, which we've talked about those contracts, me and Connor have. Francis, I would love to just hear what your initial reactions were to those contracts.
I mean, initial reactions, Jordan Poole is a very valuable part of the Warriors. I think he's especially moved for the future of the team. He's more valuable than Draymond Green. So it's a high extension. He's a good player. But it's just, it makes sense that it got his money. So I'm actually more okay with Poole getting money for Golden State. And Golden State making that choice to pay him over Draymond makes total sense. The Wiggins contract, again, at the same time, he's also a very valuable part to that team. The current roster in terms of their championship hopes now, and I guess in the next 3 years, depending on health of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. But if you let Wiggins go, some other team is going to pay him. So I think it just forced Golden State's hand to re-sign two guys who are very integral, who are integral parts to the roster to win a championship again, but also help with the next 3-4 years moving forward. So they kind of had to. I feel like if they didn't, it was really going to hurt the Warriors' chances immediately and in the future. But at the same time, you're now telling Draymond Green, yeah, we're not going to re-up you because we don't have the money. Like they already have the highest salary in the NBA. Like they're paying so much money to this roster. Like I just don't think there's any way they re-sign Draymond. So that was my initial reactions.
I think they could still sign Draymond. I don't think it'd be a long term.
Yeah. They wouldn't be able to sign him to a deal that Draymond's looking for. Like Draymond would have to take a legitimate pay cut. Which I don't think he would. I don't think he would.
He's like never really gotten a super big contract. I think he's expecting and really wanting a really big contract. This is kind of his last chance to get that big contract.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure he's going to want to take a big pay cut is the issue.
Dude, you have to give the Warriors ownership a lot of credit for dishing out all this money.
Yeah.
Like every fan's dream is their owners actually spend $1 billion that they own.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. My initial reaction also on the Poole and Wiggins contracts. Wiggins, I thought that was about value. That's kind of what I expected him to be making, about the same amount that he was making on what was once the worst contract in the NBA. Expected him to kind of just get paid that same amount, but obviously cap space has gone up. His play has improved, so like about value for him. Poole, I was just blown away by the number, like $35 million a year. I'm just blown away by that. I know we're like living in a different reality and the cap's about to spike. So like $35 million now is not going to look like $35 million, you know, 3 years from now, probably. But
yeah,
a lot for a guy who's coming off the bench.
I'm blown away by that. Like
yeah, but then,
but Tyler Hero got $30 million a year, which still seems kind of high. But I don't think Jordan Poole's definitely not $5 million a year better than Tyler Hero. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like this
yeah.
a bit of an overpay. I guess the Warriors just really wanted to lock him in then.
Yeah, I agree. It's an overpay. It's kind of what I said before. It kind of forced their hand. Jordan Poole, whoever the hell his agent is, did a fantastic job leveraging the whole situation with Draymond Green, leveraging how important Jordan Poole is to that roster. Like they did a great job. So hats off to his agent, because this man really understood the power dynamics between Jordan Poole, what he means to the team, and all the Draymond stuff. Like they did a fantastic job and got Jordan Poole paid. And yeah, I agree. It's an overpay for sure. But as a Memphis fan, like what's Desmond Bane going to get paid? Like he's going to get money. If Jordan Poole's making 135 or 140 million, and then yeah, Tyler Hero's making that much money too, like what is Desmond Bane going to get paid? Because he's better than both of them.
Are there rules on rookie extensions on how much you can make based on where you're drafted? Or is not like just you can get paid whatever you get paid?
I think you just have to hit – or go ahead, Grant. Go ahead, Grant, yeah.
I don't think based on where you're drafted, no. I think there's obviously limits to rookie extensions just based on years of service. But I don't think there's anything like based on your draft position.
Yeah, to my knowledge of the CBA, which is very limited, there are no restrictions on draft like where you were drafted. But if you hit certain incentives, so like if Desmond Bane's already made it, he has not made an all-rookie team because obviously he wasn't did he make an all-rookie team? Actually, I don't know off the top of my head if he did. Grant, do you know?
I feel like, yes, he made second team all-rookie.
Okay, so he's...
I imagine so.
Okay, so he's made an all-rookie team.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. So he's already hit one of the, I guess, pillars to get a much higher rookie extension. If he makes an all-star team, if he makes an all-NBA team, then he can get the rookie max. So he has to, it's basically incentive or performance-based, which would determine what his or his extension can look like after his rookie deal.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. That does hurt, the Grizzlies setting this baseline of $35 million. Because, I mean, how would y'all rank Bane, Tyler Hero, and Jordan Poole?
Bane definitely the best.
Bane's the best.
Yeah, so that's going to hurt the Grizzlies for sure.
Absolutely. Like the Bane is the best of those three, so he's going to really get paid. And if he doesn't, I mean, if for whatever reason he signs a more team-friendly deal, then that's just more proof that this front office they're genies. Like they're absolutely magicians if they sign Desmond Bane to something less than those two guys. But anyway, we're off topic. Connor, what would you I'll just go into, I guess, your regular season prediction. Like, so they're your favorite roster. Do you still think they're a top three seed in the West, guaranteed?
I mean, Kings are 4-0 in the preseason, so probably in there somewhere.
No, not guaranteed, but they are, I think they're the favorite. They should be the favorite for the one seed, and they should be the favorite to win the finals, but no, they're not a guarantee for the top because so much of their roster is also dependent. Even though Steph has gotten stronger over the years, they're still depending on their older players to be their lead. So it's always kind of scary going into an 82-game season.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Grant, your thoughts on the Warriors, their offseason and prediction for the season? Or I think it was me, but whoever, I asked you already.
I already picked the Nuggets second in the West, so I guess I kind of have to go Warriors first because I feel like Clippers are going to do a lot of resting. Suns aren't going to be first, the one seed, so I guess it kind of has to be Warriors first, even though they're not going to care that much about the regular season. But I like their offseason. I like that they are willing to give opportunity to their young guys, and I think those guys are going to step up. So I think that's going to be exciting. This offseason really set them up for the future too.
Yeah. I think for me, I would give their offseason like a B minus, I guess, because I like the signing of DiVincenzo. And I actually like taking that risk on Patrick Baldwin. Jermichael Green's a smart basketball player. And I mean, I like re-signing Wiggins. You had to re-sign Poole. I don't like losing Gary Payton II because he was so important for them defensively, but that's why they tried to get DiVincenzo in hopes that he can kind of replicate some of Payton's defense. Probably won't happen because Payton is a really good perimeter defender. But that was their idea. But I like the signing of DiVincenzo. Obviously, they won the title, so they're still going to be really good. Steph is still all world, a fully healthy Klay Thompson, hopefully fully healthy. Yeah, I think it'll be a really good team, and I'm expecting big things from James Wiseman this year. So hopefully he really plays well and shows that he has worth in the NBA, because I still believe in him. But yeah, I think the Warriors, I predicted the Nuggets would finish first. I had the Clippers finishing second. So I'll have Golden State finishing third in the West this season.
Yeah. You briefly mentioned Patrick Baldwin, and that won't affect this year at all. But I mean, he's basically Michael Porter Jr. light. And you know, the Warriors are going to turn him into a good player. And he only felt like he was a big time recruit, only fell to 30 because he played like 10 or 12 games in college and was not good in those games, from old playing for his dad in Milwaukee. But super talented, really good shooter, 6'9". He's going to be a really good player for the Warriors. Like, I'm just guaranteeing that basically right now.
And we didn't even mention, we talked about the Warriors now for 20 minutes. We even mentioned the fact that either Kuminga or Wiseman take a leap, what that does for this team. So
absolutely. Yeah. They still have a legitimate championship potential. So they're still a very good team. As a Grizzlies fan, I don't like to see it, but you know, they're still a very good team. So, all right. So Golden State Warriors, moving on to the Boston Celtics. These are Connor Burns, Boston Celtics. So last year they were, give me a second. One moment. I have it in my notes. Last year, 51-31, second in the Eastern Conference, lost to the Golden State Warriors in six games in the finals. They traded for Malcolm Brogdon, signed Danilo Gallinari, although he's likely out for a very long time, if not the whole season, because of his injury. Drafted JD Davidson in the second round. They lost Daniel Tice and Aaron Nesmith as a part of that Malcolm Brogdon trade, but they're not massive, massive pieces to that Celtics roster. The big move is definitely trading for Malcolm Brogdon. We talked about the Celtics in an episode before, but I want to hear y'all's thoughts, more so about predictions for the season. And thoughts, because we already talked about their offseason. Where do you really think they're going to finish this year? Do you all think they're a legitimate NBA title contender, Eastern Conference title contender again? So I definitely want to hear your thoughts on that. Grant, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so when we did our winners of the offseason episode, I had them as maybe my number one winner of the offseason, and a lot has happened since then. Just like Gallinari's injury was worse than we expected at that point. Obviously, Robert Williams has gotten hurt. They have the whole Udoka situation, which I think is going to actually have probably a pretty significant impact. I think he was a big reason for him and Robert Williams combined were kind of their biggest reasons for the turnaround that they had last year. I think, obviously, Brogdon has looked really good in the preseason, is going to fit right in, and that's like a huge piece they added still, so that's super important still. They're still going to be contenders for the East, but they maybe overpunched their weight a little bit by making the finals last year. So I think kind of seeing them as the favorites would be a little bit misguided to me. So I had their offseason, grade as a B. A lot of stuff out of their control, kind of, but just where they're sitting now, overall, a B, and have them seated third in the East.
Okay. Connor, these are your Boston Celtics. What do you think?
Yeah, so I think they're the first. I think they'll be the number one seed in the East going into the season. That's not just homerism, but I think just the fact that they just how committed they are every night on defense, that just kind of makes you a much better regular season team. And then love the Brogdon addition. The Gallinari one was a fun addition, but it was more so just for games here and there, I think, to help give people a breather and get some shooting if for whatever reason. But I think they're fine without him still. So for the Robert Williams part, so he's out what now, two and a half months out?
Yeah.
So? Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's tough. And the bad part about that is mainly because it means that it puts more shifts on Al Horford, and the Celtics really just want Al Horford to be rested up for the postseason. So that's the real killer about that. Yeah. Maybe Blake Griffin will have a resurgence like the same way Al Horford did with the Celtics. So banking on that a little bit, probably not. I still just feel like the East, the Bucks are healthy. It's Giannis's conference to lose. So I don't think they're the best team in the East just because of Giannis, but I think they will be the best regular season team.
Okay, so you think you so I'm sorry, just so I understand, you do think they will get the first in the East, or do you not
think the first? I think they'll be the number one seed, but if the Bucks are in the playoffs, it's Giannis's to lose.
So, gotcha. Yeah, that kind of dovetails into my next question, and a point, or more so a point that I wanted to make for the Celtics. I'm more in the camp that if Chris Middleton were healthy, that the Bucks would have beaten the Celtics. Like, I still believe that, and it's not to take anything away from Boston. They you beat who's in front of you, and they beat the Bucks. They still had Giannis, of course, and Drew Holiday, and they gave the Warriors a legitimate test in the finals. They were up 2-1. They could have beaten the Golden State Warriors, legitimately could have won that series. But I still believe that if Chris Middleton were healthy, this the Bucks would have won that series. And what does that say about Boston? It kind of tells me kind of what you said, Connor. Like, Boston's good. They're very good. But if the Bucks were healthy, and if they're healthy next year, they're the best team in the East, and they should make it to the NBA final with a legit chance of winning it all. So it's like, is last year a fluke? That's probably too harsh to say. Like, it's not a fluke that they made the NBA finals, but it's tough. It's such an odd situation. I wanted to ask you all about, I had a question on our outline. I wanted to ask you all about Jason Tatum, because I'm curious to hear y'all's thoughts. He's obviously very good. He's a phenomenal basketball player, but can he win an MVP? Because he's at the peak of his career. How much better can he get? Can he win an MVP? Can he take that next step as a basketball player to be like of the top, like elite players?
So, can I start this off?
Yeah.
So, my Celtics, come on. I think that he took such a leap this last season that it's wrong to say he can't do it again when someone's already proven they can take these leaps. But the way I'm still looking at it is, if you put the Celtics and Bucks rosters and you take off both teams' best player, unless you take out Giannis, you can take out Tatum, I think the Celtics win that game so easily that it kind of still shows you there's like a difference. There's like a really solid difference between the Giannis and like those kind of MVP candidates and where Tatum's at. So, I don't think he was a real MVP candidate, but a first team All NBA guy.
Yeah, I think what we see from Tatum is when he's at his best, he can outduel Kevin Durant in a series, like actually make Kevin Durant look not very good in a series, right? That's when he's at his best, but he was not consistent throughout the playoffs last year. A lot of bad games, a lot of what am I looking for?
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking stinkers. About stinkers, sure. a lot of bad games. Wasn't consistent. Not the type of consistent play you expect really from a top five level guy. So I don't think he's really at that level. I think he has that talent, and when he's at his best, that's the type of player he is. But it just doesn't have consistency yet for me.
Yeah, it's just weird because he's so good. He's like he's a legit top 10 guy. There's no way you can put him outside of your top 10. But we all know how hard it is to improve in just life, but also in professional sports, especially moving up as in the tiers of players. Yeah, philosophical. Yeah, it's hard. But it's that leap from a bottom end top 10 guy to an elite top three guy is so hard. That's such a hard leap to take. It's the hardest leap to take in sports.
Yeah.
And can he do it? I just don't think so, because I feel like he's at his peak. Sure, he can get better. Like, he can be a better playmaker. He can get more consistent. And if he does those things, could you argue, oh, that's a top five, top three player in the NBA? Potentially. But there's still such a big gap between like the Giannis, the Jokic, if you want to throw Embiid in there, and Luka as like a top four. There's such a big gap between those four dudes and the rest of the top 10. And I think it's hard for him to close that gap. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Francis, do you feel like you've already taken your life leap like Jason Tatum? You've already had your leap, or you think that's
yet? No, absolutely not. Okay. No, absolutely not. I've not hit my final form at all. Still got, neither of us on the Zoom call have met our final form. So we got a much higher ceiling left in our lives. I fully believe that for the three of us. All right. So, and my prediction for the Celtics next year, I think they finish. I'll have them finishing second in the East to Milwaukee. And I already had my hot take and have the Cavs finishing third over Philly. So that's my hot take entering the season.
Oh, I like that.
I already did it, so I gotta stick. But I think Boston's better, so Boston 2. We'll talk about Milwaukee another episode, but they'll be ahead of them. Any other thoughts on the Celtics before we move on?
Yeah, just my biggest concern still, like, and just to echo this again, is just like how they replaced Robert Williams and how that he allowed them to make that entire shift that turned their entire season around. They're not going to be able to replace that. I think I looked something up about this and saw an SB Nation article probably from a Celtics writer. I just saw the headline that Jason Tatum could fill that Rover role. It's not going to be the same.
No.
Marcus Smart was not even the best defensive player on his team last year, so definitely should not have been a defensive player of the year. So I don't know how they replace Robert Williams, and that means just in the regular season, I don't see them being as dominant as they were.
Yeah, fair enough. The East is so, again, a bit of a tangent. The East and both conferences, but really the East, they're going to be so packed tight that, yeah, do I think Boston's the second best team in the East? Yes. But is it possible they finish like fourth or fifth? Yeah, that's very possible. All right. So let's move on to the New Orleans Pelicans. Last season, they were 36-46 and lost in six games to the Phoenix Suns. A really, really fun series against the Phoenix Suns last year. Lost in six games, though. In the offseason, it's been, I guess, more quiet than loud for their offseason. They extended Zion Williamson. They drafted Dyson Daniels, who's been really, I think, to what I've seen, really good in the preseason. And they drafted E.J. Liddell in the second round, but they didn't really lose anybody. I don't think they lost anybody at all. So pretty quiet offseason for them. The biggest one was re-signing Zion. But a lot of people are high on the Pelicans. A lot of people are high on them. I'll lead off talking about New Orleans. I fully understand why people are drinking the New Orleans Kool-Aid and thinking like, oh yeah, they could be sneaky team to get fifth seed in the West or fourth seed in the West. But I got to see it before I fully put stock into the Pelicans. I can't just do it now because I got to see Zion consistently stay healthy in the regular season. I want to see a bit of that leap from Brandon Ingram. We talk about leaps from Tatum. I want to see a little more from Brandon Ingram. CJ McCollum has to stay healthy. He has a legitimate injury history. And I worry about their defense. I really worry about their defense. They have Herb Jones, who can defend really well. Jose Alvarado is fantastic. He can really, he's a sneaky guy, but he's really great. But yeah, I worry about overall the starting five's team defense. It's just, you think of a starting five of McCollum, Ingram, Jonas Valanciunas, Zion Williamson, and I'm forgetting who their point guard would be. Maybe it's Jose Alvarado. Maybe it's someone else. I just can't remember right now. I think their
point guard and they'd start Herb, probably would be my guess.
They start Herb. Yeah. Okay. So then you would be relying a lot on Herb Jones. Yeah. And that makes sense. In that case, to be the best, to carry that defense, because Zion is not a good defender. Valanciunas is not a good defender. McCollum is not a good defender. Ingram's okay because he's so tall and long. So he's all right. But I just worry about them and their team defense. So I got to see it before I believe it. My prediction for New Orleans, I think they finish like probably seventh or eighth in the West. I'll go high end. They finish seventh.
Okay. I like this team a lot. I mean, they go like 12 deep without blinking an eye, basically, and have a super talented best five. I think the defensive concerns will not be as great as you're thinking, just because I think Jonas probably won't be closing games for them. I think they'll go with Larry Nance Jr. They have a lot of good defenders on their bench. They can cobble together good defensive groups, I think.
Okay.
And they were already last year without Zion, obviously a team that was looking really impressive in the first round of the playoffs. And now you just add Zion to that. And I like their ceiling a lot. I think, you know, they have 50 win type ceiling. I would probably, man, I don't know where I would see them. Let's see.
What's their floor to you?
Pretty high still. Like, I don't think they're, I mean, they obviously could slip to like seventh or eighth and be in the play-in. That's low to conference. Like some teams are going to have to. But I don't see them having, you know, being far away from the middle of the conference at the very least, like in record wise. I see them like being within a couple games of that at the worst.
Gotcha.
So I probably have them let's see, let's count them up here. One, two. Yeah, I'm
it's hard.
Sixth. Maybe I have to put them seventh. Yeah, maybe I do have them to play. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard. Like, they could be fourth and they could be eighth. It's just so tight pack. There's just so many teams here.
talking so big about the Pelicans, they could be a four seed.
I'll say six.
You start doing the math.
I'll say six.
Yeah. Then you really look at it like,
I'm going to really need the Timberwolves to end the Mavericks for that, but I'll say six.
All right. Fair enough. Connor, what about you?
Yeah, I see them as a seven or eight seed, depending on what sort of season the Lakers have. If the Lakers are solid, then
that's the other.
And the Pelicans, I think, are the eight seed.
The Lakers, as constructed, will not be better than Pelicans, but we obviously all think there's a trade coming. So, yeah, that's the other wild card there.
Could be Draymond.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, that would be wild, actually.
That would be. I think LeBron really wants Draymond, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I think so. I why wouldn't he? Because LeBron loves playing with smart, high IQ basketball players just like himself. Yeah. And probably the guy who would match LeBron in IQ is probably Draymond. There's a seeing everything. That would be incredible.
So it's 7 or 8 seed for the Pelicans for me. I just really hope that what we're seeing from Zion, he actually looks in very good shape right now. So I hope.
He looks in good shape.
So I'm excited because I remember a couple of years ago, I still thought that Zion played an all NBA level when he was only his second year. So
yeah,
I want to see Zion become someone again that you see on ESPN every night.
I have zero doubts about Zion as a player. I just his health is the only question. But when healthy,
of course,
he's a force. Like there's no decline from him when he's healthy. So I expect him to be a force again.
Yeah, there's nothing really like him in the NBA at all. So yeah, I mean, I hope he's healthy too. I definitely hope so as well. So all right, we all kind of have him in the same range. Connor, what do you think is their ceiling? Grant said four seed. What do you think, Connor?
Their ceiling is okay. So for their ceiling to happen, they pretty much need. So Herb Jones needs to probably up his shooting to be like a 40% three-point shooter.
Oh, boy.
he's actually an 84% free throw shooter last year, so.
Yeah.
Maybe his three-point can go up. So he has to do that. Brandon Ingram has to have a season again like last year. CJ has to be the second half of the season guy he was last year. And then Zion has to be all-NBA second team probably.
Yeah.
So I would say with all of that happening, their ceiling is – I mean, it's still hard to beat. And I guess they could maybe be a five seed. I think that's their – I would say that's their ceiling.
And how many teams have three all-star level players, at least one all-NBA level player? I think Brandon Ingram, there's a possibility for like he has that kind of upside. Unlikely, but he has that kind of upside to be a third-team all-NBA player. But – two all-stars, one all-NBA player, and then depth around them. Like, there aren't that many teams. Are there any teams right now that have that? I guess the Nets, technically, kind of. But
yeah, I get what you mean. I get what you mean. I think it's it seems like over – like, the way you're phrasing it, it's a very – how do I say this properly? It's very one – No, not biased, because I'm not saying you're biased, but it's a very optimistic way to look at the Pelicans. And it's just like, Zion could be all NBA. Brandon Ingram is very good. He was an all-star, but he hasn't taken really leaps forward after that season where it got the most improved. He's good. I'm not saying he's not good.
Brandon Ingram's very player. Good. Brandon Ingram was very good.
Yeah, he's very good. He's very good. But he's at his best, he's a third team all NBA guy, but that'll be a big leap again. Like he'll still have to get better. And it's just a very optimistic view on the Pelicans. And I'm even more a little pessimistic and I still have him seventh.
Greg just wants the Pelicans to do well. So he has another excuse to go travel to New Orleans again.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's fair.
Oh, it's happening.
I don't think I'm traveling to New Orleans for Pelicans games.
That's fair. I've never been to New Orleans. That needs to change. It's such a fantastic city. From what I've heard. All right. All right, let's move on to the Toronto Raptors. This is a fascinating team to me. Last season, 48-34, fifth in the Eastern Conference, lost to the 76ers in six games in the first round of the playoffs. Grant has been a huge Raptors proponent. Connor, I'm not sure how big of a Raptors guy you've been. So I'll start with you because I feel like I know where Grant's going to come out on this team. What are your thoughts on the Raptors, their offseason and moving forward?
Offseason, not much thoughts for them. But yeah, they were weirdly fun to watch in the playoffs last year because they were just such an odd team, an odd playoff team, and the way they were constructed. And then how much – also, I love the length they had on defense. So that was actually kind of cool.
For sure. Yeah.
But what are my thoughts on them? I don't see them being much better than they were last year. I guess Scottie Barnes can get better, but I don't know. I feel like they're kind of just stuck as a first round playoff team, maybe a second round playoff team if they have an easy first matchup or something. But that's it. So the Raptors don't inspire much into me, except I think they're kind of quirky and fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. What's your seeding prediction?
I'll give them six.
Six. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I have the Raptors. Yeah, I have them sixth as well. I said this before we started recording. My kind of hot take about the Raptors, I guess, is I asked you all this question in our outline. Are they truly a contender in the East, or do you worry that they're stuck in the middle with no real direction? I asked that question in the outline because I feel that way. I feel the Raptors are stuck in the middle with no real direction. They're a really fun, quirky team, like as you said, Connor, and they're very long. There's like basically four or five fours on the floor. Like, and maybe you add Gary Trent and then you put in Fred VanVleet. So there's a little bit more lineup versatility, but you can do some really fun things with a lineup on the Raptors. And it looks really cool. It's dynamic. It's different. It's long, it's versatile, but what is their direction? Like where are they, what's their plan? Where are they going from here? Like, again, Scottie Barnes is a very good player. He just won Rookie of the Year, but they don't have a center at all. Like, they don't even have like a true big who's like a unicorn big. They don't have that. They have Fred VanVleet, but he's their only point guard on the roster of note. Like, I'm looking at their roster now. Their backup would be Malachi Flynn and Delano Banton, who's a 6'9 point guard. That's what it says. On basketball reference.
Be their point guard too at times.
Yeah, maybe Scottie Barnes.
Yeah.
But like that's a lot of expectation to put on a second year guy who doesn't play point guard really. So that's a lot. I just don't know what their direction is. I don't know what their plan is with this roster. I don't really get it. So I'm a little skeptical about them personally.
The way you're saying though, I'm not sure which way you're going, but I don't think they're in the middling pack where they need to blow it up or do something. They just seem like they're waiting for their trade or free agent pickup and they haven't figured it out yet. But once they have it, they're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, when I say stuck in the middle, I think I'm more so between 7-5 and at best the first round, or yeah, at best make the playoffs and losing the first round. That's what I mean by, I guess, middle, which is still a good team. But I think they're stuck there for now. And I just don't know what the plan is moving forward. But Grant, you're like this team a lot, at least to my remembrance. So I guess talk me off of it. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm surprised y'all are as down on them as y'all are. We are doing the most interesting teams, and I think this maybe is the most interesting team to me. You said quirky, a lot of lineup combinations. No true bigs, like you said, but Precious, Memphis guy, has looked really solid. Like him a lot. Like the Otto Porter Jr. signing a lot. Fits in perfectly. He's only like 29 years old too. He's not as old as you would think.
Which is wild.
yeah. Delano Banton, I mean, you just brushed over there. Delano Banton might be like a stud. He can't shoot, but like he might be a stud. I think they're really excited about him. I think Connor, you probably put it well that they're waiting for their next move. Like this isn't their year, and they're not going all in right now. Of course. But yeah, not like stuck in the middle is not how I would see them. I would see them as more, a contender in waiting. They're obviously super high on Scotty Barnes. I feel like I'm a little bit lower on Scotty Barnes than the consensus, just because I feel like people are considering him like a guaranteed franchise cornerstone, all NBA top 10 player right now. I'm just like, it's been 1 year. And we still don't know if he can shoot. Let's wait a little bit, but I just love all the pieces they have. They need a backup point guard. I would love to throw Tyus Jones into a trade for OG Anunoby if they were interested in that.
Yes, please.
That would be part of the trade.
At that point, Tyus, Dylan, maybe Zaire, and nothing else. I think no picks if you're giving up Tyus in there.
Yeah. Yeah, contracts would match, so there's no real issue there. Money would match. It wouldn't be hard to match money, I think. It's just more so what the Raptors want for OG value-wise.
Yeah. So I'd love that trade if they're interested. But I think the real move they might have to make, I think OG like fits better than Pascal Siakam. I think Pascal Siakam might be the guy, if they're going to make a trade, that might be the guy they move. Just because Scotty's going to be their four, OG's going to be their three. Pascal kind of, if they need some rim protection, if they want to go that route, Pascal's kind of the odd man out to me, even though he might be their best player right now. I think he's the guy.
Yeah, he just got third team All NBA.
He's the guy that wouldn't fit as well with Scotty, and they could dangle him as a really valuable trade piece and get something really good back that they might think fits better. So overall, I have them. I don't know where y'all's math. I guess y'all have Cavs. Y'all really high in the Cavs. I have them fourth. I have the Raptors fourth.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I think it's. Yeah, you're taking the more optimistic look at the Raptors, which I appreciate. Because they really are interesting. Like, again,
yeah,
me being like, I guess, a little more pessimistic on doesn't mean they're not a very fun or interesting roster. They're super freaking fun. Like,
yeah.
That roster is so fascinating just to look at and to imagine the lineup possibilities. My point is, like, I just don't know what their plan is. And maybe, I mean, that's why I'm not their GM. I'm sure they have a plan. I'm sure they have like a 5, 10 year, 15 year plan. But I just don't see it. And maybe it's just so unclear because they have to make a move. They got to trade for a piece, or maybe they trade up in the draft to get somebody. Who knows?
Fourth.
That's pretty high. Okay. So you're really knocking someone off.
I mean, they're not going to be that far ahead of the Heat, but I have the Heat fifth, and then the Cavs would be sixth. I just don't think the Cavs are going to be there yet. And this is just a really, really talented top of the East here.
The other thing, I thought it was worth bringing back out because that's a pretty hot.
The other thing we got to account for here too is they have maybe the best coach and maybe the best GM in the league. So that combo that's a pretty good combo. So I'm not going to like bet against the Raptors very often.
Yeah. I'm going to amend my seating. I'm going to put them seventh because I just thought about, I remember Brooklyn. I dropped them because we're going to talk about Brooklyn in another episode. Yeah.
So that's recap here. So
yeah.
This thing is like, all right, Grant, walk me back. Like, tell me why I'm wrong. Grant, and you drop them again. Yeah.
I'm not very persuasive.
No,
I would not have won your debate competition. I did forget about Brooklyn kind of, but like, what a wild card. I have no idea where to put them.
I know it's
not giving the Hawks any love.
We talked about them last episode, but
it was just very hard to find any place outside or inside the top six for the Hawks.
Yeah, it's hard. Like it's weird. I think we both, you, me, Grant, and Chris LeBron all had Atlanta like eighth, because like it's not to say they didn't get better, but who are you gonna put them over? It's just so tough. The East is so loaded. Like it's the most loaded the East has ever been.
It's probably the best season we've ever seen going into a season.
Yeah, 100%. No question about it. And like the Brooklyn is the wild card of the East. Like the Lakers are the wild card of the West. If AD and LeBron just go off and AD becomes a top 10 player again, LeBron is still LeBron. Like they'll figure it out. And they're going to win a lot of games. Like, because they're two incredible players. And if that happens, the Lakers will be like top five in the West. And if Brooklyn, if Ben Simmons plays really well and KD stays healthy, Kyrie stays healthy, blah, blah, blah. Like that's a top five at worst team in the East, you know? So yeah, it's a lot of wild cards. All right. So let's move on to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Last season, 46-36, lost to the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round in six games. They won their play-in game against the Clippers and celebrated like they won the Super Bowl or something. Like, they just got so damn happy. I think Pat Beverly cried. Carlton Towns, like,
yeah, why did you choose points?
Yeah, it's like, and then Cat, I think, like, took off his jersey and threw it into the crowd. Like, it was just, they got very excited about winning the play-in game. Anyway, so the biggest news, though, for the Minnesota Timberwolves is the trade for Rudy Gobert. They traded Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Leandro Bolmaro, Walker Kessler, Jared Vanderbilt, 2023 first-round pick unprotected, 2025 first-round pick unprotected, 2027 first-round pick unprotected, 2029 first-round pick top five protected. And for Rudy Gobert, we talked about this trade in the Winners and Losers episode. We talked about the Wolves a little bit in that episode as well. I'm more so curious to see if y'all's thoughts have changed about them moving forward, if y'all are optimistic, pessimistic about them, and where do you see them in the West now that we're doing our full breakdown. Grant, what do you think? Have your thoughts changed on the Timberwolves or no?
No, I mean, I offered a lot of my opinions in the our previous episode we did on the winners and losers of the offseason. I had them as a loser while y'all had them as winners. So I'm a little more pessimistic about that. Not because I don't think they're going to be really good, but just because I don't think they're there yet. I mean, I'm not going to get my seat right now because I still got to do some calculations here. But I just don't think they're there yet. I think for them to be a contender, they would need Anthony Edwards to be a true, like, top 15, top 10 level creator and playmaker. And I just don't think he's going to be there yet. I think he's really good and it's going to get there, but I don't think he's going to be there yet. And it probably will take a couple of years. And then a couple of years from now, like, what is Rudy Gobert going to look like? Is Cat still going to be on the team a couple of years from now? I don't think this move vaulted them, especially for what they gave up, vaulted them into the true top tier of contenders level in the West.
Fair enough. Connor, what about you?
I'll put him as a put some spice on it. I'll put him as a four seed.
Oh my goodness.
Oh. That's some spice for Connor Byrne, ladies and gentlemen. Fourth seed in the West. A little bit of spice. Why do you got him that high?
I expect Ant to take a jump. So that's really the big thing. And you have one of the things you're going to ask is who's the most valuable player for this team. So,
yeah.
I want for them to be a force. I think it has to turn out to be Ant that he has to take this leap, because we know that Rudy Gobert is, and what Cat are. We already know what they do and how good they are. But if Ant can really become an unstoppable force, then I don't know. I don't see why they can't win however many games. The Jazz are always the one seed when Gobert was there. Gobert gets you, if nothing else, like, he gets you regular season wins. So
yeah.
Yeah, they'd be a four seed.
Yeah. I mean, his whole thing is just being a massive high wins above replacement, right? Like, that's his thing. He just gets you wins. He helps you win games in a regular season. May not, you know, playoffs, different story, but regular season, absolutely. I have them finishing fifth, and I can't, we'll talk about the Grizzlies another time, but I think I want us to think about what we're saying about all these teams. There's so many ifs about basically every team in the NBA for them to be this good. So it's like, if Steph Curry stays healthy, if Klay Thompson stays healthy, if there's a leap from the young guys, then they're going to be really good again. If Jason Tatum takes another small leap forward, he can make that big difference for Boston. Or if Robert Williams stays really healthy, there's just so many question marks about all these teams. The big if for Minnesota for me is, like, if Anthony Edwards, like you said, Connor, takes that leap forward, then this will be a very good team. Like, they could be top three in the West. Like, if he really becomes a top 30 guy, hell, top 20 guy even, good God. Like, that Timberwolves team is really, really good. I talked about in the last episode how I actually really like the fit between Cat and Gobert. I think they should just pick and roll Ant Gobert pick and rolls to death and have Cat in like on the perimeter spotting up for three, or you can put Cat in the dunker spot, or you can do pick and rolls with Cat and Anthony Edwards, or pick and pops with Cat and Anthony Edwards and have Gobert in the dunker spot. Like, they should just pick and roll teams to death. I don't see why they should overcomplicate this offense, but it'll be terrifying. And then on defense, I think Gobert makes up for a lot of issues with Cat. And there's that clip running around. Have you all seen this clip of like Cat trying to scramble on perimeter defense and him looking lost? And this, and everyone's like saying, oh, this is why the Minnesota Timberwolves aren't going to be that good. Say again.
Is it an older video?
No, it just came out. Like, it's, oh, no, it's a recent. Yeah, it's a recent clip running around of Cat looking lost on defense and saying, oh, this is terrible. Like, you really think they're going to be good, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, first of all, it's one clip. The Cat is not going to be perfect on defense. And yes, if you face Minnesota, just basically force them to guard the perimeter. Just force them to guard the perimeter. That's the plan. But like, I still think they're going to be good defensively. And, you know, I'll have them fifth in the Western Conference with their ceiling being third. Right. If Ant gets a lot better.
The Cat's series against the Grizzlies last year is one of the most bewildering experiences I've ever had as a basketball viewer watching it from game to game.
It was weird. He's a head scratching player. Like, I think this team, is driven by Anthony Edwards. Like, I think he's the most valuable guy. We talked about the Cavs before. Like, I think Evan Mobley is the most valuable guy on that team. Like, Evan Mobley takes the Cavs as far as, or the Cavs go as far as Evan Mobley takes them. And I think that the Timberwolves go as far as Anthony Edwards takes them. Grant, you didn't give a seeding. Where do you think Timberwolves finish?
I think this is dumb because there's going to be like a 1.5 game, maybe 2 game difference between like 4 and 7. Like, trying to pick this is just, is pointless, but I'll have them a little bit more pessimistic and go with sixth seed and a ceiling of 4. I wouldn't have them 3.
Ceiling is 4. Okay, all right, fair enough.
Which team do you think is someone that is the most likely team that we don't have as a high seed right now that could end up being a top seed? And we just never thought of that. Like, every year there's someone that this kind of tends to happen with.
I guess Pelicans for me.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the standings, like, it's such a weird, these Western Conference standings from last year are so weird because the Clippers were 8th. The Lakers were 11th. The Nuggets were 6th. And like, these are teams that, or the Pelicans were 9th. Like, these are teams that have gotten either healthier or have gotten better. And the Timberwolves were 7th. So again, like, teams who have either gotten healthier or better. And then you have the top tier: Phoenix, Grizzlies, Warriors, Dallas, Utah. Utah sucks, obviously, so they're out. So everyone naturally moves up a spot. But it's weird. Like,
who's the most likely top tier team in the West that could fall into like the play-in territory?
Oh, Phoenix.
Yeah, that's what I would say
too. Phoenix. Yeah. It's absolutely Phoenix to me. I mean, hell, it could be Dallas too, because of we talked about Dallas last episode. They had a very meh offseason, and I like Christian Wood, but the rest of that roster is just, it doesn't inspire me too much. So maybe Dallas.
I had Dallas 6th last episode. So I just put the Timberwolves 6th. That's because I'm more pessimistic on Dallas now than I was an episode ago. I would put them 7th probably. So in the play-in now.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Connor?
Yeah. I think because Dallas is so Luka reliant that if Luka gets out for a month even or something,
yeah,
that kills him. I wonder if let's say early in the season, really early, Luka, God forbid, had a season injury, I wonder if they would blow it up for Victor Wembanyama.
You got to.
Ooh. Ooh, man.
They should shoot him in the knee, shoot Luke in the kneecap or something.
Make it look like an accident.
Make sure it's not going to actually damage anything permanently.
But exactly.
Out for the season.
Yeah, make it look like a total accident. And kind of, not to be rude to John Wall Connor, but something like Luka gets hurt in his home, kind of like John Wall did, and he's out for the season. Like, and he just can't. Yeah. He can't play. I'm sorry, Connor. That was rude.
That's really 3 years long.
Yeah, that's true. I hope if Luka did get hurt like that, it wouldn't turn into John Wall.
John Wall's a hell of a doctors around the world with how long he was out.
Yeah. that's
Rockets doctors last year. They were like, we have no idea, man. You just got to sit out.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. If Luka did get hurt and they just tank for Victor, because he would be perfect next to Luka. He'd be absolutely perfect. I think the team most likely to move up is probably, it's probably the Lakers, because if they finish, I'm going to have them like eighth or ninth, but I still believe in LeBron. It's LeBron James, and then I think AD's in for a bounce back year. And again, if they play at high levels, they're top five seed in the West if they play at high levels. And I still need to
see. As they're currently constructed, those guys, if AD bounces back and LeBron is basically the same player he was last year, you think they're a top five seed in the West?
Yeah, just because of how good those two guys are. Like, if LeBron is the same guy, top 10 guy in the NBA, if AD bounces back, top 15, hell, even top 10 guy, you have two top 15, top 10 guys in the NBA, they'll make it work. Like, they'll figure it out. I think they would be more likely to move up. I mean, barring any trades, like the roster currently constructed. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. You feel that way, Claire?
Yeah. I'm fine with that. I also love their Patrick Beverley pickup to get a little bit more defense.
Yeah. Connor's a big Pat Beverley.
I love that too, but
Patrick Beverley's what is the reason why they're gonna be a 5 seed. Yeah. No, the I agree. When you have two of the top 10 players in the NBA, you should never be below a 5th seed. So
Yeah. If they're both playing at their best, then yeah, that team will definitely surprise people and surprise win total projections for sure.
The other thing you have to factor in there is that they're both going to play less than 65 games at most. So even if they're both at their best, they're both going to play less than 65 games at most. So
yeah, that's fair. And I think even if you got 65 games out of LeBron and AD, that would be a win
you'd be very happy.
Like, you'd be ecstatic. So I mean, that's definitely a fair point. But like, this is the thing, like going through the teams, there are so many ifs for every team, every contender. Is like, if this happens, like if the Lakers, if LeBron and AD get healthy, if Jaren Jackson for the Grizzlies, if Jaren Jackson comes back and he takes a leap and he looks like Jaren Jackson and gets better in offense, if John Morant stays healthy, then the Grizzlies will be really good. If Luka Doncic continues to play at such a high level, it doesn't get hurt. And if Christian Wood surprises people, then Dallas will be good. If Jamal Murray in Denver stays healthy, if Michael Porter Jr. stays healthy, then Denver's going to be like, it's just a bunch of ifs. And that's what makes this season so interesting, because there's storylines for every team.
That's another part of just
like the Wizards. The Wizards don't have a single story.
Except the Wizards.
I told Connor yesterday, I was like, the only thing I'm fascinated about with the Wizards is that Johnny Davis is 10 for 48 so far in his professional career. So, but to speak on those ifs, yeah, that's just another part of like the league being so deep. Like, normally you wouldn't need so many things to go right, even to break the top five team. When like if you're a talented roster, you wouldn't need everything to go right to be a top five seed in your conference. But this year, like, it's going to take that basically.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. It's going to be really interesting. Go ahead, Connor.
The thing that you're kind of getting at though, which is true, is that every time you go into a season, we look at teams usually positively. And then things always go wrong. So I'm excited to see which teams actually turn out to be, oh, that team just wasn't good. We should have realized this ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be Dallas. I feel like that's the best bet in the West. Do you have a bet on the East? Like, who do you think would like, oh, that's, we look back and they're actually not going to be that good. Mine's Miami. Personally, my bet's Miami. I'm not very high on them.
You're going against
I don't bet against Miami. Yeah.
Going against the Spolster team, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes. Okay. My Filipino brother. I have to. I'm just not very high in Miami, personally.
I think, honestly, I mean, I'm not as high on, like, Cavs in general, so I don't think I could have them as the team that falls out. Even though I like that roster a lot, I'm just, like, not as high on where they're going to finish this year.
Yeah.
This is going to be crazy, but, like, maybe the Celtics.
Ooh. Ooh. With no Robert Williams, though, for a while, I can see it. I mean, it's a fair point. That's not totally out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, they are 538's favorite to win the title.
Yeah. For some reason, the models do love them. 538 had them, like, had a 90% chance to win the championship last year, and they didn't. So.
About 90% chance to win.
It was like crazy high.
Yeah, they made it to the finals.
Yeah, because Chris Middleton was hurt. That's the only reason. The models love them.
That's true.
The eye test is that they're good. I feel like if there's one team that people are overrating as like a favorite, like, but people have them as the favorite, I think it's maybe the Celtics.
Celtics, yeah.
I don't think there's any East team right now that's being overrated. I think there's just a couple that probably may not be getting enough attention. Like the Nets probably should scare people more than we currently are looking at them. And I think even the Hawks have potential to scare people a lot more than we're currently thinking about them.
The Wizards scare me.
The Wizards scare
me. Looking at their roster.
The Wizards scared me for 26 years.
Yeah.
I just love how rarely an episode goes by with the three of us, or really even if Connor's not there, the Wizards just catch strays on this pod. Like, even if literally last episode with Connor not there, Chris was saying how, like, maybe the Wizards could be good. Grant was like,
we do not do that on this podcast, Chris.
Yeah, Grant was like, no, the Wizards will not be good. just strays. So, you know, if we have a following in the DMV area, I guess I'm sorry. Or maybe we don't. We probably don't have a following for that reason, because we just bash the Wizards.
No reason for the Wizards to not be a decent basketball franchise. I mean, obviously, it's all the reason of the ownership and management, but just as a city, DC should be a good basketball place.
Agreed.
Sad.
Agreed.
Yeah. Real sad.
Same with Georgetown. Like, there's no reason why Georgetown isn't a good college basketball team. Yeah. Like, they have the history. They have the glory, but they suck. they're a terrible college basketball program. Really weird. Any other thoughts on these five teams so we can get off this tangent and close? Any other thoughts?
Nope.
Connor?
No, but good luck to the Padres versus the Phillies, the NLCS.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm so excited that you're watching baseball right now.
Dude, I've been watching a lot of baseball. Like, not even just the Padres. I've been watching a lot of the playoffs. I cared about the Padres a lot over the regular season, so I was watching a lot of games during the season. I've been playing MLB The Show a lot, so it's gotten me back into appreciating baseball. And so, I'm also picking up on when I'm watching games, I can pick up on what pitch was thrown much better than I used to. I can look at pitch like, all right, I know what that is. I know what pitch that is, just because I played a lot of The Show. And my favorite total tangent, then we'll actually close. Like, that's no bearing on basketball at all. But last night when I was watching the game and Hader was closing, he was pitching to Trey Turner. So there's what he already got Mookie Betts out, pitching to Trey Turner. He threw two straight fastballs at Turner, who just could not catch up with him. And I told Alex, he's about to throw a slider. He's going to throw a slider low and away right here. I just know it's going to happen. And what did Hader throw? A slider low and away. And I was like, let's go. I called it. I knew exactly what he was about to throw. And I got so excited that I kind of know some baseball.
Playoff.
I'm sorry, Grant.
Baseball is so great because it's just so it's so anxiety producing the entire time.
So stressful. God,
what game mode do you play on the show?
I just do the franchise mode, or if I want to do something short, I do the Road to October mode, just the more condensed stuff. But yeah, I mean, I'd usually just do franchise and just fast forward the season and play like the crucial moments that pop up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or critical moments, whatever the hell. So I do that. And I'm always the Padres just because Padres fan, but it's fun. It's a fun video game to play as a sports fan. Pretty cool.
Actually, how me and friend of the pod, Bailey Buford, first became friends was we bonded over the show. We both played Road to the Show and both had created Bryce Harper. And this was like when Bryce Harper was like a rookie or whatever. Both had created Bryce Harper and Road to the Show.
Cool.
Mangus him and we bonded over that. So shout out.
Nice. Yeah. Shout out Bailey. Oh, Bailey, if you're listening, congrats on passing the bar. So if that's fantastic. I already congratulated you through text, Bailey, but if you're listening, congratulations. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on that really good note, Connor, Grant, it's weird still to see y'all in the same room, but I'm happy to have seen and talked with both of y'all. I hope, Connor, you're doing well at Duke, that you're thriving. I know it's a stressful time starting grad school, but hope you're doing great. Grant, I know you're doing great. I don't even have to ask. I know you're just killing it.
It's great. Connor has finals next week and obviously did not study this week and obviously did not study a single second this weekend.
So. Of course not.
So
that's very on brand to Connor. So yeah. The worst part, again, sorry, this fucking tangents. This episode is brought to you by tangents. But I'll never forget freshman year, Connor, we both had a paper due and we were both like had just not finished it at all. Like it just was not finished for either one of us. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning and you just came over and you're like, do you want to play a video game? Like, wait, we have to finish this paper. neither of us are done. It was a very long freshman paper. I don't even remember what the hell the paper was, but I remember both of us not being done the night before it's due and just fucking around and not working on things. It's very on brand. You're a bad influence, basically, is the moral of that story.
Good. But people know a bad boy.
Okay. God. Okay. Please enter
there. Put me out of my misery.
Yeah. All right. To everyone listening, don't forget to rate the podcast, give us 5 stars, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a review, comment, all that fantastic stuff. Until next time, everybody. Peace. Cool days, hot tops, with my blue face, ice pops. I'ma make a shoelace, necklace. Yeah, we whipping pops on Lexus. And I'm skipping school days, mic drops. Eyes on summer like Cyclops. Yeah, we falling off the sidewalk. Mama, want your home, boy.